Well, we come to number four in our series on Paul's letter to the Philippian church. And our subject is nurturing peace. And we're going to start by looking at conflict in the church. Now, I don't know if anyone went to see Avengers: The Endgame at the cinema last week. I didn't, but my taste in fantasy, it has hobbits in it, not superheroes. But this film is causing controversy in parts of the American church. It's causing discord. And it's not that image that's causing the problem. It's this one, Captain America, a leading superhero, and a woman. That's her in the middle. Apparently, some churches say it's undermining their teaching about the place of women in the church. Teaching based on their interpretation of the letters in Paul. Letters like the one we're studying this morning, Philippians. This is a letter written to a bunch of women superheroes. So let's look at the verses from the passage that we're studying today, or the beginning of them. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. And the kernel of these verses is this. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women. Now, I used to interpret this passage as two silly women having an argument about the colour of the church flowers. They need a man to sort them out. But since I started digging into the passage, I realise that's not the situation at all. And before I go any further, I must first apologise to Myra, who did the flowers this morning, and all the others who do flowers in the church. Because the flowers are an amalgam of human artistry with the Lord's creation. There's sermons in the flowers on the windowsills, I can tell you. Anyway, what's really happening in these verses? The story started when Paul was in Troas with Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They didn't want to be in Troas, but every time they wanted to go somewhere else, the Holy Spirit blocked them. And the Holy Spirit pushed them slowly nearer to Troas, when if he pushed them any further, they'd get their feet wet. Then Paul was given a vision. A vision of a man from Macedonia, just over the sea in northern Greece. He was asking Paul to come and help them. So that was what the Holy Spirit was up to. That's what it wanted. They got on a ship and they went to Philippi, the largest town in that part of Macedonia. There they did what Paul usually did in a new town. he looked for the synagogue. But there wasn't one. Later events imply that actually there was a persecution of the Jews going on in that area at the time. But he did hear of some women meeting outside the town by a river and worshipping Yahweh. So on the Sabbath, they went and met these women and their leader, Lydia. This is Paul preaching to the women. Lydia in the middle looks a bit dubious, and the strength of your theology obviously depends on the length of your beard. Lydia was probably a widow with a family. Under Roman law, she could conduct business on equal terms with men. And she was in a very high status business. She was trading in purple dye or purple cloth, which came from her native Thyatira. The dye was worth its weight in silver. And there was only one ultimate customer for most of the cloth, the emperor's family. Other VIPs might have purple trimmings, but only the emperor and the royal family could have a purple robe like this. This is a picture of a much later empress wearing a purple robe. The colour's gone a bit dark in the intervening centuries. But if Lydia was around now, she would have had something like this on the gate of her villa. This is the royal authority for the suppliers of that essential piece of diplomatic equipment, the Queen's regal handbag. Lydia's status was this high. After Paul had preached and told them about Jesus, Lydia and the women were baptized and became the foundational leadership of the Philippian church. So this was a unique church, not only led by women, but it was a Roman church. There was no Jewish influence at all. They were all Gentiles. Paul, Silas and Timothy left Philippi very soon, leaving Luke, who was also a Gentile, for a few months to help them get established. And the Bible says that the church met at Lydia's house. That's slightly misleading. It would be a villa that was something like this. Not only a house, but a place of business. That's what the Roman villa at Chedworth in the Cotswolds would have looked like in its heyday. And they were probably still meeting there because it was spacious and it was secure. And after a few years, Paul wrote this letter to them. Its introduction is different from any of the other letters. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Paul wrote this letter from his imprisonment in Rome, like other letters. But it's the only one addressed not only to the church in general, but specifically to the elders and deacons. Obviously, something was going wrong. Something which needed the elders and deacons to attend to. Not something seriously wrong, because Paul goes on to say how he regards them as very special. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in all my heart. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. What was going on? What was going on was disagreement. Disagreement among the leadership or among senior members of the church. And this is what is going on in chapter 4, the bit we began with. Paul begins that part of the letter like this. We read it earlier. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. He begins by urging them to stay true to the Lord, reminding them that Jesus is the true leader of the church in Philippi. But he repeats his love and regard for all the Philippian church. They're very special. There is joy in his crown. And then he goes to the heart of the problem, to the two women leaders who were in disagreement. It must have been important. Paul wouldn't have wasted his and their time over something trivial. Euodia and Syntyche disagreed. Disagreed about some important subject on which it was vital that there was concord in the church. They'd probably both been founder members of the Philippians church who'd worked alongside Paul in establishing the fellowship and evangelizing its first converts. After that, they worked with Clement, who might have been the jailer who became a Christian after the earthquake when Paul and Silas's chains fell off. He's the only male convert mentioned. He would have been a retired Roman soldier, actually. That's the sort of job that Roman legionnaires did when they were too old to go soldiering. And this disagreement was not part of the sort of the party politics which broke out in the Corinthian church, where there was a Paul party, an Apollos party, and even a Jesus party. And because of this, the Corinthian church was in danger of having its own private Brexit. This was not yet the situation in Philippi. However, Paul can see there's a danger that if it went on unchecked, a situation like Corinth would occur. And in all these letters, it's the only conflict situation where Paul addresses the opponents by name. And he starts by reminding them that not only does the church belong to Jesus, so do they. They're not their own, and they own personal allegiance to Jesus. On the cross, Jesus bought them. Their joint allegiance to Jesus overrides their opinions. Paul asks Lydia, assuming that Lydia was still leading the church, we've got no evidence to the contrary, to get involved. Remember that this letter was addressed specifically to elders and deacons as a leadership, as well as to the body of the church. Then he gives the leaders and church together how to avoid such conflict. He's already told them earlier in the letter what their attitude to each other should be. In chapter 2, this is what he said. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. That's the overall aim, to be like Jesus in his humility. Now Paul goes into detail. First, he focuses on joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. This joy is not mere happiness. This is the joy that comes from being in Jesus, in relationship with Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. In his letter to the Galatian church, Paul listed this joy as one of the results of living in the Holy Spirit. Here we have, at the top, what Paul wrote to the Philippian church and what we've just read. And, it's all right, I've got out of sync again. There we are. At the top, what he has said to the Philippian church. At the bottom, he has what he wrote to the Galatian church. And what he wrote to the Galatian church was, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, which he's just mentioned, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And to the Philippians, he's already spent three quarters of his letter talking about love and peace, and he's now added joy. And goes on to add consideration in everything. Let everyone see you're considerate in all you do. What do you need to be consistently considerate? Well, at times you'll need patience. You'll need kindness. You'll need goodness. You'll need faithfulness. You'll need gentleness. And you'll need self-control. In other words, you will always need the Holy Spirit. You will need to be like Jesus. Jesus, throughout his ministry, from his baptism onwards, had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How much more do we need that indwelling? And how do we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Paul tells us that too. It comes by prayer. Pray about everything. Ask God for what you need. Pray continually. Thank him for everything. Thank him for his closeness to you through his Spirit. And through this closeness, you will experience his peace. And through his peace, you will in turn be a peacemaker. A peacemaker in the church. A peacemaker in your community, and a peacemaker in the world. That's the challenge. Are we like Jesus? Do we have the same attitude that Jesus had? Are we filled with what Paul called the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Are we equipped to be peacemakers? Paul said, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. So ask God to equip you by filling you with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to keep you filled with his Spirit, to keep you equipped as a peacemaker. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Jesus wants us all to be peacemakers. And we're going to ask for God to send his Holy Spirit now. We're going to sing again that song we sang earlier. So if the musicians can play it, we're going to stand and sing it. And we're going to make it our prayer that God will send us the Holy Spirit more fully and more powerfully than we've ever known before. Spirit, break out.